It's a bright morning, it's Ramadan. It's a bright morning, it's Ramadan. It's a bright morning, it's Ramadan. It's a bright morning, it's Ramadan.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله سيدنا أبو بكر شبلي بغدادي رحمة الله تعالى عليه very beautifully mentions. He says, I dreamt about my late neighbor and asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bika? How did Allah Azza wa Jal treat you? He replied, I faced immense hardships. I was even unable to answer the questions of Munkar Nakir. Munkar Nakir means the angels who ask the questions in the grave. I thought in my heart that perhaps I have not died in the state of Iman. Meanwhile, I heard a voice, You are being punished for using your tongue unnecessarily in the world. Then the angels of torment advanced towards me. But meanwhile, an extremely handsome personality wearing sweet perfume appeared between me and the torment. He made me recall the answers to the questions of Munkar Nakir and I replied accordingly, Alhamdulillah. The torment was withdrawn from me. I humbly asked that revered personality, May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on you. Who are you? He replied, I have been created by virtue of your act of sending salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly and I have been assigned to help you in every hardship. Subhanallah. Aapka naam naami ae salli ala. Aapka naam naami ae salli ala har jaga har musibat mein kaam aa gaya sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam salatu wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah sallallahu ala muhammad nurin min nurillah marhaba khushamdeed welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode and silsila of this beautiful series known as A Bright Morning. And unfortunately, very soon we are moving towards the end of this beautiful month. Allah, Allah, Allah. And it is very heart-touching, heartbreaking, I would say. For indeed, this is the month of mercy, the month of forgiveness, the month of rahmat, the month of freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And after 11 months, this month will return. But the issue is, we do not know if we are going to be here to witness these beautiful days. We do not know if we are going to be here to witness these merciful days. Allah, Allah, Allah. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those people who have been forgiven in this beautiful month of Ramadan Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us amongst those people who are fortunate that, you know, they will be freed from the fire of Jahannam in this month of Ramadan Mubarak. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. We learned a very beautiful excellence of Durood Sharif today. We learned many, many things can be derived from this beautiful narration of Durood Sharif, that this person, the neighbor of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he thought that, you know, I didn't leave this world in the state of Iman. And that's when he heard the voice that you are being punished for using your tongue unnecessarily in this world. Allah, 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 Allah. The harms of the tongue, the difficulties of the tongue, the problems of the tongue are so many that if we have to sit down to comprehend them, to understand them, to think about them, Allah, Allah, by Allah, we will start realizing, you know, how many sins, how many filthy things we are committing, we are doing with this dirty tongue of ours. But alhamdulillah, what saved him? The excessive recitation of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abundant recitation of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And that is the beauty of durood sharif, that inshallah azza wa jal, durood sharif opens your ways, makes things easy for you, guides you on the straight path, removes your difficulties. Har dard ki dawa hai, salli ala Muhammad. تعویز ہر بلا ہے صلی علی محمد. This is the beauty of the beautiful name of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reciting salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's all recite durood together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad nurim min nurillah. So in this incident we learn that his neighbor was being punished for using the tongue unnecessarily. And this tongue is a root and a cause for many evils, many difficulties, many problems in our life, in our society, in our area. And inshallah azawajal, today we will be discussing one of the harms of this tongue of ours. What is that? That is the harms of backbiting. How our pious predecessors, you know, despised this act of backbiting, of ghibat, of talking behind someone's back. Allahu Akbar. Today, inshallah, we'll be discussing this beautiful topic. It is something very important. It is one of the hidden diseases, and it is necessary for people to have the knowledge about it, to know about it, so you can prevent yourself from it, you can save others from it. And this brings me to the point where we need to make good intentions before our silsila, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make good intentions, inshallah. Whenever I hear the name of Allah, I will glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the blessed name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah. When I hear the name of the awliya, the buzurgan deen, I will say rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha. And inshallah, whatever I learn now, I will first and foremost try and act upon it myself, and then inshallah I will pass the message on to others as well. Subhanallah. Whilst acting upon this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it is mentioned that ballighu anni walau ayah, convey on my behalf, pass on my behalf, even if it is a single ayah. So every person, every viewer, every listener who is watching me, listening to me, at the moment you are a muballigh. And this responsibility is given to you by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This you need to convey on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's nothing to be shy about, there's nothing to worry about. We need to convey the message of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With these good intentions, the more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Make these good intentions and begin our silsila for today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad nurim min nurillah. My dear Islamic brothers, because we are going to be discussing backbiting, first of all we need to understand what is backbiting, what's the definition of backbiting. Very beautifully, Sheikh Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions and he narrates that the blessed Islamic scholars have said, to mention the fault which a person has is called backbiting, whether the fault is in his religious matters, worldly matters, personality, character, wealth, children, wife, servant, imama, behavior and manners, clothes, smile, lack of common sense, rudeness, anything, whether the fault is in anything related to the person, you know, when a person mentions the fault which a person has, this is called backbiting. Allahu Akbar. So this is the definition of backbiting. So mentioning the fault of a person in his absence, which that person has, is called backbiting. If he does not have the fault, then it is called slandering, which is a more severe sin than backbiting. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked, do you know what backbiting is? It was humbly replied, Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know better. Then the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way which he dislikes. It was humbly asked, what if he has the fault? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, if he has the fault that you are talking about, you have committed backbiting against him. And if he does not have it, means he doesn't have the fault which you are talking about, you have slandered him. Allah, 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 Allah. Remember, this committing this backbiting, this ghibat, is a grave sin, a major sin. And it's haram, and it is an act which is leading to hell. Very beautifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, in ayah 12 of Surah Hujurat, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Translation from Gan Suleiman, and do not backbite one another. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. Allah, 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 Allah. Sadr al-Afadil, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated regarding this ayah. He says, one should not even tolerate backbiting against his Muslim brother, because calling him bad behind his back is like eating his flesh after his death, because the way a person feels pain if his flesh is cut, similarly, backbiting gives pain to his heart, and in fact, honor is more important than the flesh. The reason of revelation, as mentioned in Tafsir Khazan al-Irfan, is when the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would set out on a jihad, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would group one poor person with two rich individuals, so that the poor person would serve his rich companions and the rich would feed him. This way, all the companions would benefit from each other. Similarly, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was grouped with two individuals. One day, he fell asleep and could not prepare a meal. So his companions sent him to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to get food. Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the servant of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who did not have any food left. He said that he had nothing. Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned and said the same to his companions, that he didn't have anything. When he informed his companions, they replied, Usama has become stingy. Allah. When those two people went to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I can see the color of flesh in your mouth. They humbly said, we have not eaten any meat. The Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, you have committed backbiting, and the one who backbites against a Muslim eats the flesh of a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. This is the harms of backbiting. This is the harms of ghibat, of talking bad behind your Muslim brother, behind your Islamic brother. And our pious predecessors, alhamdulillah, they strongly detested this action of backbiting. They hated it. They went against it. Even if in any gathering, any mahfil, there was backbiting taking place, they would move away from that mahfil. It's very beautifully it is mentioned that once Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to attend a feast. So people were talking to each other that so and so person had not arrived yet. Upon this, whilst the discussion was taking place, one person said, that fat man is very lazy. When Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala heard this, he reproached himself and said, alas, I am facing this trouble because of my stomach. I have come to a gathering in which backbiting is being committed against a Muslim. After seeing this, he rahmatullahi ta'ala left and did not eat anything for 3 days due to this grief, and according to another narration, for 7 days. Allah, 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 Allah. Look at the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the gathering in which the backbiting would take place, they would leave that gathering. They wouldn't sit in that gathering. Now the question comes to us, that leaving the gathering, how many of us just go to a gathering to commit backbiting, to speak about our Muslim brothers, to take out the faults of others? Some people have this habit that they always want to pick up the faults of others. So-and-so person did this, so-and-so person said that, look at him, look at her, look at what he is doing, look at what she is doing, look at this, look at that, everyone. Why do you worry about others so much? If he is wearing that, why are you worried? If he is not doing it, why are you worried? If he is doing it, why are you worried? There are so many things which people can spend hours and hours and hours speaking and speaking and speaking about the faults, about the aib, about the problems of the next person. But by Allah, if a person takes that time to rectify himself, he will become a very great person. But no, who is going to rectify themselves? Huh? That's what we think. The only thing we want to worry about is, speak bad about this person, speak about that person. We need something to speak about. and we can spend hours on that topic and we will not get tired. The people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the gathering where backbiting was taking place. So the da'wat, this was a feast. But he left the gathering. And then to punish himself, whereas it wasn't his fault, the people were backbiting. He didn't commit the backbiting. By mistake, he was in that gathering and people were speaking. And one person committed the backbiting and he heard it. And to punish himself, what he did was, he didn't eat for 3 days. And according to some narrations, for 7 days, just to punish his nafs. Oh, nafs, you went to a gathering where backbiting was taking place. Another beautiful lesson we learned from this incident is the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, 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 look how they would, you know, punish themselves. Look how they would speak to themselves. They said, Ibrahim bin Adam said that this is the fault of my nafs. It's my fault that I came to this feast because of my stomach. I came here to eat or whatever the case was. And because I came here, I ended up listening to this person's backbiting. If I wouldn't have listened to my stomach, if I wouldn't come here to this feast, if I wouldn't appeared here, I wouldn't arrived here, I wouldn't have listened to the backbiting. So everything is my fault. Why did I come in this gathering? Why did I come to this feast? These are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pious people, good people. When you speak in front of them, you always want to speak good things. You don't want to say anything bad. Because you know that these are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't tolerate it. They won't listen to it. Automatically, when they are in your company, you also start speaking good. They make you speak good. I said, this is the quality of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when they go to some people, they don't even need to mention anything. Just their personality, just their appearance, just their zaat itself is enough to rectify people and to put people on the straight path. Alhamdulillah. Remember, committing backbiting is something evil. It is a grave sin. At the same time, listening to backbiting is also a very grave sin. It's mentioned in a beautiful hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden us from singing songs and listening to them, from committing backbiting and listening to it, and from committing tale-telling and listening to it. Shaykh Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned, the listener of backbiting is also one of the backbiters. So this is how severe this disease is. Some people think, you know, and they say that, no, Munasab, you know, I wasn't speaking anything. I was just listening. He was speaking. Why were you listening? Even listening is also a sin. You are listening to the faults of your Muslim brother. Would you listen to someone speaking against your father, against your mother, against your brother? No, you won't tolerate it. Why? Because it's your brother, it's your family members, it's your relatives. That's also your Muslim brother. That's also your brother in Islam. So why are you listening to what someone has to say about him? How difficult it is that if someone starts a topic, you change the topic. Don't speak about it. Leave it. What good is it going to do to you? Nothing. Yes, that person's sins are getting wiped away. Your sins are getting increased. So there is no benefit. There is only loss. An abundance of loss. Because you are losing out big time. Imagine you are getting sins. That person's sins is being removed. He doesn't even know it. He was just walking past you, he wasn't even there, and you started speaking about him. You did all sorts of wrong things, you spoke bad about him, you backbited, you did every filthy thing. Who is in loss? You are in loss. The person you're speaking to is in loss. That person is in benefit. So why do you want to destroy your good deeds? Why are we bent on, you know, causing troubles and difficulties for ourselves? First of all, we don't have any good deeds. All right? Our good deeds are nothing. Basically, our good deeds are zero. Our account is zero of our good deeds. We do not have any good deeds. If we do some good deeds, then they become the target of riya, of arrogance, of pride, of showing off, of ostentation, whatever it is. So even they are also finished. How many of us have proper, you know, good deeds filled with sincerity? We went and performed salah, and from takbir tahrima up until the salam, each and everything, you know, was drowned in the love of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything was perfect. How many salahs do we have like that? How many fasts do we have which are perfect? How many, you know, hajj do we have? How many sadqas do we have in our daily life and routine? How many good deeds do we have? Nothing. So we don't have any good deeds. We have nothing good with us. On top of that, we want to now destroy our good deeds by backbiting against someone. What a fool that is. Take an example. A person is hungry and he doesn't have any food. He has maybe just little bit. And even that he takes and he throws it away. What are you going to call that person? You're going to call him a fool. But you didn't have any food. What you had, at least take that much. You took that even and you threw it away. So what are you going to have? What are you going to eat? Likewise, we don't have any good deeds. Whatever little good deeds we have, at least keep those good deeds. No, we want to destroy those good deeds as well. Allah, 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 Allah. So this is also a harm of listening to backbiting as well. You are listening, you are also a sinner. Don't think that you are safe, you are all right, there is no issue, there is nothing wrong with it. No, 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 no. If you are listening to that ghibat, then you are also a sinner. You are also deserving of the punishment and you need to make tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beautiful solutions of staying away from backbiting is that whenever a person wishes to point out the faults of the next person, you should pay attention to your own faults and try and overcome them. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, good news is for the one whose faults prevent him from finding faults with others. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, the person who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter paradise. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah has stated, whenever you intend to talk about the faults of someone, remember your own faults. So this is one of the effective ways to prevent backbiting. Whenever a person, you know, thinks about the faults of others, of those around him, and think that, you know, you also have lots of faults, you also have lots of issues, you also have lots of problems. And by Allah, when you start doing self-accountability, muhasaba, when you start thinking about your own faults, your own self, then believe me, your life will come to an end, but the self-accountability which you are doing of yourself will not come to an end. Because our sins, our misdeeds, our bad deeds are so much that you won't have time to look at other people's faults, other people's shortcomings. Remember, in this world, nobody is perfect. Right? Nobody is innocent. Nobody is masoom. The angels, the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are masoom. Besides them, nobody is masoom. Yes, we all commit mistakes. We all do wrong things. We all have our shortcomings. We all have ups and downs, whatever the case is. As mu'mineen, as believers, our duty and our responsibility is that we should overlook those shortcomings. A Muslim brother is not supposed to be someone who, you know, tarnishes the reputation of his Muslim brother, who goes and speaks bad about his Muslim brother, who goes and opens the secrets of his Muslim brother, who does every sort of wrong and filthy action. No, you conceal the fault of your Muslim brother in this world, inshallah Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal your faults on the day of Qiyamah. You wouldn't like that your faults should be exposed. You wouldn't like that your shortcomings should be exposed. Then why are you doing it for others? This is such a disease which takes a person towards Jahannam. Slandering, backbiting, speaking about that person. The tongue is a very dangerous weapon of yours in your body, you know. The tongue causes fights, facade, quarrels, arguments, problems, difficulties, issues, everything. Majority of the problems come because of this tongue. The moment a person can control this tongue, by Allah, you will see how easy and how better his life would become. Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, very beautifully he mentioned and he states, many strong bodies, beautiful faces and sweet talking tongues will be screaming in the depths of hell, in the depths of Jahannam. Al-Ayyadu billah al-Aman wal-Hafiz. There are a few points regarding backbiting which is derived from the Quran, from the Ahadith, the various Ahadith and the sayings of the pious predecessors. Let's just run through these beautiful points. Number one, backbiting severs faith. Number two, backbiting brings about a bad end. Number three, the dua of the one who backbites abundantly is not answered. People ask, "No, Munasab, my dua is not being accepted. You know, my dua, I make so much dua, but nothing happens." Then you must look at yourself. That's the problem of human beings, that the first thing you want to do is you want to blame someone else. We don't take any blame on ourselves. When something wrong is happening to us, maybe it's my fault. This is not happening correctly. Maybe I did something wrong. No, the first thing you want to do is, maybe we can put the blame on the next person. Maybe we can blame something else. Whatever we want to do, we want to take off the blame from our shoulders and give it somewhere else. No, that's not how it works. You need to first look at yourself and think about yourself. So it is mentioned that the dua of the one who backbites abundantly is not answered. Number four, backbiting deprives a person of the blessings of salah and sawm. Number five, backbiting destroys good deeds. Number six, backbiting burns the good deeds. Number seven, even if the backbiter repents, he will still be the last to enter paradise, to enter Jannah. In short, backbiting is a grave sin, absolutely haram, and an act leading to Jahannam. Number nine, backbiting is worse than fornication. Number 10, the one who backbites against a Muslim commits the sin that is even severe than usury. 11, if backbiting is put into the ocean, the whole ocean will become smelly. Number 12, a backbiter will have to eat the dead in hell in Jahannam. Number 13, backbiting is like eating the flesh of the dead brother. Number 14, a backbiter will be tormented in the grave. Number 15, a backbiter was peeling his face and chest again and again with his copper nails. On night of Mi'raj, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed this. Number 16, a backbiter was being made to eat the flesh cut from his sides. Allah Allah. Number 17, a backbiter will be resurrected looking like a dog on the day of judgment. Number 18, a backbiter will be a monkey of hell. Number 19, a backbiter will have to eat his own flesh in hell. Number 20, a backbiter will be running between the boiling water and the blazing fire of hell, asking for death. The dwellers of hell will also be sick of him. 21, a backbiter will be the first to enter Jahannam. Tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. Allahu Akbar. All of these, I would say, perils which we mention now, each one of them is something which we need to take into consideration, something we need to start thinking about, something we need to start looking into seriously. Every gathering we go to, every mahfil we go to, ask ourselves this question: is there any gathering which is free from backbiting? Is there any, you know, mahfil which is free from backbiting? Let alone normal worldly gatherings. I'm talking about Islamic gatherings also. People are not free from backbiting. You enter, you go to a mahfil milad, you go to an urs, you go to a Islamic function, you go to a khatam, you go to whatever the case is, wherever it is, backbiting will be taking place there. Mullah Sahib will be delivering a lecture, and yet the people will be backbiting, sometimes even against the Mullah Sahib who is speaking. Mullah Sahib is saying something, people are talking their own things. Someone is reading Naat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people will start backbiting. Someone is doing salami, people will start backbiting. Someone is doing zikr, people will start backbiting. The food comes, even there you have to backbite. After the food, you have to backbite. Then you have to stand outside and talk about all your issues, all your problems, and then backbite there as well. It's like, you know, we look for opportunities to backbite, to speak bad against our Muslim brothers, against our relatives or anyone. This is something which everyone needs to stop. Everyone needs to start rectifying themselves. People need to start coming on the straight path, you know, the path of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, as we mentioned, backbiter will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in the shape of a dog, means his features will be like a dog. And so all these kind of things, it is something which makes and sends shivers down our spine, and it makes us think that, you know, we don't want to be amongst these people here. So let's all make good intentions, and inshallah, 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 from today, we will try our level best to refrain from these kinds of sins, and we will try and be good people, inshallah. So we will control our tongue, we'll control our habits, we'll control our words, inshallah. Remember, the one who speaks sweet words, his personality becomes sweet, his actions become sweet, he becomes sweet himself. Subhanallah. Always speak good things, speak sweet things, and inshallah, you will see the reward in the world as well as in the hereafter as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. With these few words, we come towards the conclusion of today's silsila. And remember, the lesson which I want everyone to take away with you all is, become sweet in terms of your words, that your words should not affect anyone, whether it is in front of the person or behind that person. that tomorrow if that person comes to know you said something about him, it should be something good, not something bad. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah you lose everything. We hope to see you soon inshallah tomorrow, same time, same place, with different topics, something new, something exciting. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's a bright morning, it's Ramadan. 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 It's